After burning down acres of their homeland in an attempt to take over his father's business, Bahamian residents opted to seek revenge. But rather choosing violence, they decided to spare his life, but not without enduring supernatural consequence. But before we begin, if you love cryptids and want to learn the full story, both the legends and the facts delivered as a narrative story, then this guided tour is for you. Fly on over and tap the subscribe, like, or review button depending on where you watch or listen. Now, grab your brightest colored attire and don't forget your manners. The tour is about to start. I'm Elaine, and you're touring cryptids across the Atlas. When it comes to luck, we all seem to have our own charms and practices to create good fortune. For some, it's carrying around a lucky rabbit's foot, finding a four-leaf clover, or even repeatedly seeing the number 7. For others, it's more ritualistic, like rubbing Buddha's belly, Caesar's hand, or kissing the Blarney Stone. It's why we make a wish on a shooting star and why we blow out our birthday candles or when the clock strikes 11:11. And if you ask many sports players, they will probably share their own pregame rituals to ensure a winning season. Take New York Mets' Turk Wendell, for instance. It's said that he often leaps over the baselines when walking to the mound, chews black licorice while pitching, and brushes his teeth between innings. Or take Indianapolis Colts kicker Mike Vander Jack, who's said to walk the length of the field to touch both goalposts before a game. So whether it's picking up a shiny penny that's facing heads up, carrying around our favorite token before an important meeting, or simply eating the same meal every night before a big game, humans can be pretty superstitious. It's why we walk around ladders and not beneath them, and why we throw salt over our shoulders to ward off evil. And it's why we often look for patterns in nature to tell us our future, or at the very least, affirm our beliefs surrounding different ideas. And just like carrying around a lucky rabbit's foot, many of our ideas around luck and superstitions involve different types of animals. It's why many of us avoid black cats, especially around Halloween. The legend goes, if you see a black cat, you'll receive bad fortune, or worse, because it's believed that a black cat is nothing more than the devil in disguise. Our idea surrounding animals and luck even goes so far as to create an entire holiday around, you guessed it, the groundhog. Celebrating every year on February 2nd, we await the groundhog to see if it sees its shadow, and depending on whether he sees it or not, it's believed it will have either a prolonged winter or an early spring. And while the list goes on, I'd like to tell you about one of the most commonly associated animals surrounding luck, owls. Historically, owls have various connotations from around the world. In Greek mythology, owls were revered as they were considered wise, noble, and protective in battle. In English folklore, the barn owl was depicted as sinister because it was associated with being a bird of darkness and a harbinger of death. In different parts of Africa, owls were often considered messengers of witches due to their nocturnal intuition. And, according to some Native American beliefs, owls weren't even considered to be birds at all, but shapeshifters or restless spirits of the dead. From being the token of wisdom and power to witchcraft in the underworld, it's easy to see that humans have a love-hate relationship with these creatures. But for Bahamians, the owl, or the Chicchārni as it is known there, is neither good nor bad. No, the Chicchārni is merely a reflection of how you treat them. Now, before we dive into how owls have influenced cryptozoology, I want to start off by saying that I love owls. And I'm not just saying that to save my own skin. I think they're beautiful creatures, but man, can they be terrifying, especially late at night when you're driving down a foggy back road or when they're in places you're least expecting them. I mean, take baby barn owls, for instance. Tell me that seeing these things in your attic in the middle of the night wouldn't be a terrifying fright. In fact, I've had my own creepy run-in with barn owls. A few years ago, my husband and I were driving home late one night from work. As we stood outside standing next to our car, this terrifying screech that I can only describe as a witch cackling above us made us book it for the front door of our house and quickly locking the door behind us. Staring blankly at each other with all the lights off in the living room, we were peering through the blinds trying to catch a glimpse of where the sound was coming from. And as we were looking, Cody saw an owl flying towards a tree on our property. Having no idea that owls could scream like your typical witch Halloween prop, we immediately went to YouTube, and sure enough, barn owls do, in fact, cackle. While I don't personally believe that owls are spirits from the underworld or witches trapped in bird bodies, I will say that was one of the most disturbing sounds I have ever heard. And as a side note, if you've ever experienced something like this, we'd love to hear about it. The Chicchárny, while not believed to be an evil spirit, is often described as having the face of an owl standing roughly 3 foot tall and covered with fine feathers that resemble fur, calling Andros Island its home. Bahamian natives have also commonly described the Chicchárny as having 3 fingers, 3 toes, and large piercing red eyes with the ability to turn its head nearly 360 degrees, typical of an owl. But some natives also believe that the Chicchárny has a prehensile tail, one that helps them grasp and hold on to the trees as they make their homes by tying the tops of 2 pine trees together. Many Andros Island residents believe that the Chicchárny, while owl-like in appearance, are actually more elfin or goblin in nature due to their mischievous, easily offendable, and sometimes aggressive behavior. Because of this, many Bahamian locals warn that if you come in close contact with these creatures, it's best to be polite. Oh, and they love bright colors. If you're visiting their island, it's best to bring them a brightly colored flower as a gift, or at the very least, dressed in your brightest colored attire. But double cross one and you're sure to fall on hard times. Laugh and mock them still, and not only will they curse you with bad luck, but they're likely to forcibly twist your neck 360 degrees. Pretty much, just treat them kindly and they'll gift you with good luck on your way. Generally speaking, there aren't really any documented attacks from the Chicchárny, much less physical proof of their existence. But for one British politician, while his life may have been spared, when it came to his financial endeavors, the Chicchárny may have had the last laugh. Representing the Conservative Party, Neville Chamberlain, most popularly known for the Munich Agreement, preceded Winston Churchill as the United Kingdom's Prime Minister from May 1937 through 1940. But before his time in British politics, Neville had his sights on other endeavors. When Neville was in his early 20s, his father, Joseph Chamberlain, asked him to take over his sisal plantation on Andros Island. Sisal, or agave sisalana, is a species of flowering plant that originates from southern Mexico. Apparently, the reason why Joseph asked his son Neville to take over his plantation was because his business was starting to decline. So Joseph thought Neville was the perfect person to help save their business and their legacy. And of course, Neville, young and entrepreneurial-minded, jumped at the opportunity. Upon arrival, Neville had heard stories of the Chicchárny from locals and chalked it up to nothing more than silly tales. Instead of heeding their warning, he laughed and mocked the idea of a bird that can change your fate depending on how you treat it. He simply didn't care about these owls, as his only focus was to grow his father's business. Not long after settling in, he got to work. One of the first things he accomplished? Chopping down acres of trees for the sisal plants to flourish. But these weren't just any old trees. No, these were the homes of the supposed Chicchárny. Not only did Neville scoff the idea of these birds, but he also tore down their homes for his personal gain. I don't know about you, but making fun of somebody and then tearing down their house doesn't seem like it would beget good karma. But like they say, what goes around comes around. After spending 6 years on Andros Island, destroying its subtropical forest to try and re-spark an already declining business, Neville had no such luck. Eventually, he gave up trying to build the family business and decided to make his way back home. But not without going in debt first. His financial downfall ended up costing his family what would be considered $4.2 million in present day. Some might argue that the business failed simply because trying to grow plants that weren't native to the island was just a bad business move. But Bahamian locals have a different theory. They believe that the Chamberlain family's misfortune was due to the Chicchárny's getting even. But supposedly a large financial debt wasn't all. It seems like they had something else up their sleeves. What's more is that years later, in September of 1938, the Munich Agreement that basically gave over Czechoslovakia to Nazi Germany to appease Adolf Hitler backfired. This agreement was put in place by Nazi Germany, the UK, France, and Italy. And unfortunately, the Munich Agreement, in an attempt for peace, was later coined the Munich Betrayal because of a previous 1924 alliance agreement and a 1925 military pact between France and the Czechoslovak Republic. Ultimately, many people lost their respect for Prime Minister Neville Chamberlain. Even Winston Churchill is quoted by saying, "Poor Neville will come badly out of history. I know I will write that history." And according to BBC, an article titled, "Was Neville Chamberlain Really a Weak and Terrible Leader?" states that after the monumental failure of policy, Chamberlain's name became an abusive synonym for vacillation, weakness, immoral great power diplomacy, and above all, the craven appeasement of bullies, whatever the price and national honor. Despite his many achievements in domestic policy, therefore, ultimately, Chamberlain's reputation remains indelibly stained by the Munich and the failure of his very personal brand of diplomacy. It seems like Neville Chamberlain just couldn't catch a break. Now, you may be thinking to yourself, sure, the Munich Agreement may have been a bad choice politically, and destroying land for financial gain may not be the best way of getting positive recognition, but people make mistakes all the time. People aren't always good with their pocketbook, and leading a country isn't always the easiest thing to do. No matter how good your intentions or efforts are, there will always be a group of individuals who hate you, no matter what. And none of this has anything to do with owls or luck, especially not cryptids that have the power to make or break your financial endeavors. But what if the Chicchiarni did exist at a different time and were recognized by a different name? Tito pollens, commonly known as the Andros Island barn owl, Bahamian barn owl, Bahamian great owl, and to some, the Chicchiarni, is an owl that has been since extinct and is believed to be in the same genus as the barn owl. These specific owls were thought to be native to the Bahamas during the last ice age. However, these weren't your typical owls. According to Alexander Wetmore, an American ornithologist, which is someone who studies birds and their habitats, as well as an avian paleontologist, which is someone who studies bird evolution and bird fossils, believed that these cryptid owls were more robust and stronger than their counterparts. So, the Chicchiarni could have very well been real, despite the argument about its ability to alter the outcomes of your endeavors. Like other cryptid stories we've covered, many creatures have often been mistyped as unidentified living relics of years past, similar to the Chuchunya we covered last summer. For the Chuchunya, many people believe that these Siberian snowmen are some of the last living links the human race has with its simian ancestors. Or even in one of our mini-series online where we covered the misidentification of the platypus in the 1700s, it's easy to call something a cryptid when it goes against what we believe to be true. But just because something seems to go against all odds doesn't mean our belief can't somehow influence the truth. If you carry around a Lucky Charm before each baseball game, does it really increase your chance of winning? Or if you rub Caesar's hand before hitting the slot machine, does it really increase your chance of pulling triple sevens? And if you're vacationing in the Bahamas and make fun of an owl's appearance or don't bring in a small gift, can you really go broke when you return home? Well, if you've won the national championship every year by wearing the same pair of socks, or always scored the jackpot after rubbing a golden statue, maybe there's something to this whole luck thing after all. And in Neville Chamberlain's case, being rude to a native resident, no matter how silly it may have seemed, didn't really age well for him now, did it? If you love cryptids and want to learn even more about the creatures we just talked about, find us on TikTok or Instagram. Just search username @thecryptidatlas. By the way, the episode you just witnessed is both a podcast and YouTube video, so whichever format you prefer, we have you covered. Also, check out our interactive cryptid map to browse the globe and learn about cryptids from your favorite areas. Every episode we make adds another pin to our map. You can find our social channels, the map, and more at thecryptidatlas.com. And when you find us, be sure to tap that follow button and get in on the action by dropping a comment on our recent videos. If you enjoy the show, consider sharing it on with a friend. Sharing the spooky love with someone else is the best compliment you could ever give us. And if you listen on Apple or Spotify, consider leaving an honest review to help other listeners know what to expect. Thanks for touring Cryptids Across the Atlas. Until next time, keep your eyes open. You never know what you might see just on the edge of the road.